Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day, and we thank you for the health and blessings that you give to us all during the week. As we come before your throne now to worship you in spirit and in truth, we ask for your angels to encamp around us and for your spirit to teach us what you would have us to know. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Amen. Today our topic is the family tree. We don't often today see these family Bibles in people's homes, but I remember when I was a youngster, when you would go into someone's home, there would be a family Bible. And in that family Bible, somewhere either between the Old and New Testaments, or in the early pages of that Bible, there would be what is called the family tree. And in that family tree, you would have the names of different family members according to their lineage. The definition of family originally was those living in one household under the authority of a single head. The definition of family tree is a chart showing the relationship of all of the ancestors and descendants in a given family. Bloodline is a direct line of descent. Blood brother is a brother by birth. Bloodline was very important in the nation of Israel because the expected Messiah must descend from the tribe of Judah or the family of Judah and be the root of David or the son of David. And so bloodline was very important. And even in our day, we find that many times blood is thicker than water. Today we want to look at the family tree as taught from the Bible. We'll first want to go to Romans. Chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We will begin with Romans 9:6b. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. We begin to see a picture now of how the Apostle Paul was looking at Israel. And let me say this. The true family is Israel. And the family tree is made up of ancestors and descendants of Israel. The apostle here is saying they are not all Israel. They are not all a part of the family who are descended from Israel or who are bloodline Israel. Continuing in verse 7, neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac, your descendants will be named. And verse 8, that is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of Yah, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. We see the apostle teaching Yah's mind on family and the family tree. Those who are not in the descent of the faith are not even considered children. And then we go to Romans 9:25. This is taken from Hosea chapter 1. And he says also in Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people. And her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. There they shall be called the sons of the living God. Of course, this is the prophecy of the Gentiles becoming God's people by way of the new birth through the Messiah. We need now to turn to Romans chapter 11, just a few pages over. In verse 16b. If the root be holy, the branches are holy too. If the root be holy, the branches are holy. If the root of this family tree is holy, the branches of this tree will be holy. Let's read on. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them, and became partaker with them of the root, rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right. They, that is, bloodline of Israel, were broken off for their unbelief. But you, that is, Gentiles, not of the bloodline, you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if Yah did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Behold, then, the kindness and severity of Yah. To those who fell, severity. But to you, Yah's kindness, if you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off as well. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For Yah is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more shall those who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And thus, and here we have the conclusion, And thus, all Israel will be saved. All Israel will be saved, but not all who claim to be Israel are Israel. In short, through unbelief, there were branches of the tree cut away. But those who were not of the bloodline, who were Gentiles, exercising faith, were grafted in to the family tree. So the family tree is Israel. The tree, or the family, or the line or lineage of those who are overcomers. The true family. The one that counts for eternity. And Paul tells us not to be arrogant, not to be prideful concerning this family. For we are ever in danger of falling to unbelief should we become arrogant. Should we think ourselves to be someone when we are not? That is not to say we should not rejoice in our connection. That is not to say that we should not rejoice in our faith and be strong in our faith and believe that we shall remain in the family. But we are not to become arrogant and boastful and prideful concerning this wonderful family. Family is a wonderful experience this time of the year. Families are looking forward to their family reunions. During the summer, especially around the time of the 4th of July in this country, many families come together for what they call family reunion. These are bloodline families, and they have common interests in their family heritage, in the new children that are being born into these families, and especially grandparents, and sometimes even great-grandparents, have the great joy of seeing the fruit that has come from their downline. But the children of Israel, the family of Yah, has great family reunions. There is one particular family reunion that we are especially looking forward to, and that is the marriage supper of the Lamb, when all of the redeemed from all ages will gather in the heavenly sphere together, and there Christ Himself will serve us at the reunion table. That is the great family reunion that we all look so forward to. But before that time on this planet, we have the joy and gladness of family reunions. In fact, here in Corinth, Mississippi, we're expecting a great family reunion almost a week away. It's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when our family will come together for the great spring family reunion. And certainly we should not take away from our weekly family reunion, which is every Sabbath. when the local families come together for the memorial of creation. Yes, it is our weekly family reunion. And those of us who are in the family of Yah so look forward to that time when we come together with our beloved family to worship the Father. And then, after eating a spiritual meal together, we go and have our temporal meal, a healthy meal, having a day of joy and gladness. And then at least twice a year, we come together on a larger scale for our feast times, times of family reunion. We want to continue our study by turning to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to be looking at the Savior's attitude toward this subject of the family tree and the priority that he placed upon family and families. Matthew 21, verses 18 and 19. Now in the morning, when he, that is Yahshua, returned to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. Inspired commentary tells us that this fig tree was representative of the nation of Israel. At the time that Christ came to minister, almost 2,000 years ago, the nation of Israel had fallen into a deplorable state. And they were no longer witnessing to the power of the Creator. They were no longer bringing forth fruit for righteousness. In fact, Christ at one time said that the leaders were like whited sepulchers. On the outside, they were painting themselves as some righteous individuals, but on the inside, they were rotten to the core. Spiritually, they were depraved, and they no longer could claim to be children of Abraham, children of the faith. And so this miracle that Christ performed, withering of this fig tree, was symbolic of the fact that the nation of Israel would no longer bring forth the fruit of the womb, would no longer bring forth members of the true family. And it was very disappointing to Yahshua to have his blood family fall from grace. In John 15, we see a beautiful picture of the family tree. John chapter 15. We take it up in verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples or my family. This is quite a nice picture of a family tree, of the family tree, of the true family tree, the tree of Israel. For Yahshua himself is of the parent stock. He's the root of that. And he's the vine. And our Father in heaven is the vine dresser. We are the branches. And we are expected to bring forth much fruit. You remember the fig tree that Christ cursed for not having figs, for not bringing forth fruit, just having pretty leaves, pretty exterior, but worthless for good use. The family of Israel is designed by the Creator to be useful, to bring forth fruit. Yahshua says that those of us who do not bring forth fruit, who are found to be useless, who are dead weight to the vine, are cut off and thrown into the fire in the final judgment. Matthew 12 gives us a specific statement from the Messiah concerning the priority of family. His attitude toward his family. Matthew 12, 46 through 50. While he, Yahshua, was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to Yahshua, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Yahshua answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Yahshua was very, very explicit in John 15 in Matthew 12, that his family are they that bring forth fruit. His family are they who do the will of his Father in heaven. For they have a common Father. They are connected to that parent stock, and they are children of the Most High. Let's go further. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Verses 8 through 10. Yahshua is speaking. But do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called leaders or masters, for one is your Master, that is Christ. Now, some may take a legalistic view of these things and misapply them. For we have a commandment that says, honor your father and mother. It is a commandment with promise. We are not to neglect our bloodline. We are not to turn our backs upon our bloodline. And neither did Paul turn his back upon his brethren of Israel in the flesh. But Yahshua tells us to set our priorities. Yahshua gives us our priorities. The bloodline family is important in that we are to call them into the true family. We are to bring forth fruit, and we call our bloodline into the family tree. We bring forth that fruit. And then we show that we are truly part of the family. We are not to set our affections on this earth. We are to set our affections on things above. Yahshua had some very strong things to say to the people in his day. And let's look at it in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we will take it up at verse 33. The Jews answered him, we are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? Yahshua answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's offspring. Yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen from my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Yahshua said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Yahshua said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from Yah. For I have not even come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Or in other words, you're not listening. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. We see now how the Savior develops this thinking. If they were listening to him, if they were cooperating with him, he would say, truly, you are of Abraham. Truly, you are descendants of Abraham because you're doing the deeds of Abraham. And you are of the family of Yah. But since you are seeking to kill me, since you won't listen to me, since you won't abide in the truth, I conclude that you are of your father the devil. And you are truly of the bloodline of Abraham, but you are not children of Abraham at all. This is consistently the attitude of the Messiah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10 now. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 38. Yahshua speaking. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Yahshua makes a strong case here that his message is like a sword who divides families. His message divides the sheep from the goats. Those who accept his message become part of that family tree of Israel. Those who will not accept that message are no longer in the lineage of the true family. Though they may be in the bloodline of Abraham, they're no longer a part of the family. And so Yahshua says to us, choose your family. choose which lineage you're going to be in, whether of Yah or the devil. The apostle has some words for us in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of the household of Yah, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Messiah, Yahshua himself, being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in Yah, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of Yah in the Spirit. And Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith, the family of Yah. To close, let us turn over to the book of Joshua. And to close this subject of the family tree, we will look at the prophet Joshua in his closing dissertation there in Joshua chapter 24. Starting with verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes or families of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before Yah. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says Yah, the Almighty One of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt by what I did in its midst, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. But when they cried out to Yah, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites who lived beyond the Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand. And you took possession of their land when I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and summoned Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam. So he had to bless you, and I delivered you from his hand. And you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. And I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear Yah and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve Yah. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve Yah, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yah. And the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake Yah to serve other gods. For Yah, our Almighty, is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. And Yah drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve Yah, for he is our Almighty One. Then Joshua said to the people, you will not be able to serve Yah, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgression or your sins. If you forsake him, if you forsake Yah and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve Yah. And Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves Yah to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away the foreign gods which are in your midst, and incline your hearts to Yah, the God of Israel, or the Almighty One of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve Yah, our Almighty One, and we will obey his voice. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of Yah. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of Yah. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of Yah which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, lest you deny your Maker. Today, Yah is inviting us to make a covenant with him, to bring forth fruit, the fruit of the vine, the fruit of righteousness in Christ our Lord. He is inviting us to put priority in the true family. He is inviting us to be grafted in to the family tree. He has spoken to us words of wisdom. And He leaves it with every one of us to choose this day whom we shall serve. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word to us. We thank You that You have made it possible for us to be children of the Most High. We thank You, Father, that You have given us Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, having been grafted in to that natural olive tree, having been made a true member of that family tree that will last forever without end. Father, we pray that those hearing this message may make a priority of bringing forth fruit to glorify our Father in heaven, to become true members of His family, to set priorities in the life, to bring forth much good fruit. Thank You, Father, for being with us, for teaching us. Thank You for the ministry of Your angels. And now we ask that You dismiss us with Your love, trusting that You will ever lead us and guide us into all truth. And it is in the name of Your only begotten Son, Yahshua the Messiah, that we pray. Amen.